Welcome to a hilarious and informative show hosted by Mitch Adams of Wrestle Royalty. The worlds of comic book related media and pro wrestling intersect in various ways. Both tell stories, while everyone involved wears tight, colorful outfits that would make circus performers blush. Ladies and gentlemen, WrestleRoyalty.com and Harley Quinn Memes on Facebook proudly present Storytelling in Spandex.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Storytelling in Spandex. I'm, of course, your host, Mitch Adams, and it's my absolute pleasure to have here the editor-in-chief of Monthly Puri, so be nice, guys. He's kind of my boss, Mr. Tom Fain. Tom, how you going, buddy?
I'm doing well, Mitch. Thank you so much for having me. Let's get this going.
Absolutely. Let's get straight stuck into it. Where did the inspiration for Monthly Puri come from? I mean, we've had a bunch of questions about this, so...
Yep. So, we tweeted it out a couple days ago from our account. Well, my account, the Puro Reporter, which started as NJPW Reporter. I created the handle at a live event in 2018, I believe, late 2018 here in LA. I just wanted to tweet some short clips of some of the action because I had some pretty close ringside, not quite ringside, but about four rows back from the action. And here and there, I've get some wrestlers engaged with me. But about this time last year, it's been about a year ago, TJ Perkins and I had a really long, good, thorough conversation about the state of Japanese wrestling. I thought, man, it'd be cool to publish this. But I didn't like any of the websites. Everything I saw out there was a bunch of, like clickbait and a bunch of rumors and people trying to hop on trends and not really doing their due diligence. There was no real, I guess, like reporting. So in the vein of Bill Apter, as you know, as you've pointed out, you've been working with me and one of my top writers here for the magazine for the past 6 months. Bill Apter inspired me. You know, I don't know if anybody had been doing this. So I created what I thought would be cool, and it just so happens that it's surged in popularity, and other people think it's cool too.
Absolutely. And for people who do not know, Bill Apter was the longtime editor-in-chief of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and he edited and was ahead of many other pro wrestling magazines in America, which kept basically everything in kayfabe. And all these magazines were known throughout the industry as Aptermag. So a bit of knowledge for you guys. One question that you and I get a lot is why is Monthly Purisu not actually monthly? So far, we've been putting out quarterly editions.
Yeah, so, as you know, because I crack the whip sometimes, it's a bit hard for us to publish these things. It's costly, it takes a lot of time, and we're all working outside of our regular day jobs. So the title, of course, is aspirational. You and I both want to get there, the rest of our team, Nick, Steven, Sam, everybody wants to get to monthly. So we've got some surprises in store as far as some new relationships and partnerships that might help us get there.
New relationships and partnerships. Can we give people a little bit of hint about those relationships or partnerships?
I'm scheduled to go out to Tokyo sometime in a couple of months. So let's just, let's wait and see what comes of that. I've got high hopes. And of course, we are working on a special edition. By the time this podcast releases, we will have some news on that shortly.
Absolutely. And we're very proud of this next special edition as well. You guys are really going to enjoy it. As you know, this podcast is about all the ways pro wrestling and comic book writer media mix. But for some reason, you're not into comic books. Why, I don't know, but I digress. So instead, we'll talk a bit about Magna. You know, in all the ways in that form of Japanese comic books that spreads throughout Puroresu. I mean, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask were, of course, inspired by Magna and anime characters. In the world of my expertise, Joshi Puroresu, there's a lot of Magna in influence there. So how about you share with the listeners some of your favorite Magnas?
As a kid, and of course we call it manga here in the US, as a kid, I didn't read them. My best friend was from Asia and he always had them around the house. I watched a lot of the earlier, we had a program called Toonami here, basically localization team would spin everything into English. And so like, you know, 11, 12 years old, back in the mid, late 90s, I would watch like Inuyasha, Dragon Ball Z, all the, you know, all the basic ones, Gundam Wing, you know, Outlaw Star, Cowboy Bebop. And then I would rent the VHS tapes, whatever I could find, Princess Mononoke, Akira. The minute I discovered Akira, you know, it was about the time the NWO was around in wrestling, and it was edgy, it was cool, it was kind of dark. And so I was kind of also hitting that moment of adolescence. So I can't say I watched just a whole lot of anime now, and I definitely don't read a lot of manga. But yeah, but I guess I could definitely see where there's a crossover appeal. And like, you know, we've talked to some wrestlers, and they will base their appearance or their persona or their wrestling ring gear off of superheroes, because the two worlds are so closely intertwined, which of course, when you go to Japanese wrestling, they're looking more to anime for inspiration.
Absolutely. Anime and magna, or manga, as you guys call it. I'm probably butchering that pronunciation, but never mind. No, and like I said, you were a WCW fan back in the day, right? So,
yep.
Yeah, so
yeah.
The best example I can give is a lot of crossovers between, you know, worlds of comic books and pro wrestling is Sting, Crow Sting, which is, of course, knockoff of the Crow, Brandon Lee's Crow. Yep. So,
yeah, I thought he was so cool. I actually drew Sting on my hand before every day at school. I mean, I couldn't have a tattoo. I was like 12 years old, but I loved Crow Sting. And, you know, some people who are into Japanese wrestling like the shoot style, or they like the more serious strong style. But one thing that, you know, I love about New Japan is they mix some of these kind of otherworldly gimmicks with the more sports centric kind of serious style of wrestling. And WCW, I think, did that really well too, until it kind of went off the rails. I actually became a fan of WWF really early, like 1990. And it wasn't until Scott Hall and Kevin Nash jumped ship, and I just kind of followed them there. And then I caught on to that cruiserweight division. I loved, you know, Jushin Liger when he would come over, Ultimo Dragon, who our friend Sonny Ono would bring out to the ring, and with all of his belts and the crazy high spots and the fast action. That was something that really grabbed my attention. And of course, Chris Jericho was in that scene. Well, when Chris Jericho goes over to WWF, the Lionheart fan that I was, the Jericho-holic that I was, I switched back over to WWF. That was about 99. And I watched it for a few years until I just kind of, you know, got out of wrestling for a while.
Now, I don't, a lot of people seem to get out of wrestling after the Monday Night War, and a lot of people have gotten out as WWF turned to WWE and became, over the last 15 years, became a bit meh. But no.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. That's that. We could talk about that for hours on end. So, but you know, I was always a WCW fan first and foremost. My first introduction to pro wrestling was via WCW. Just a short story for you guys here. Australia didn't get pay television, cable television, whatever you want to call it, until 1995.
Oh wow!
And there was a co-thing between Rupert Murdoch's 20th Century Fox, Murdoch, but I digress, and a telecom company here called Telstra. And one of the first big channels that they had, and this was very clever by them, was Cartoon Network. So they got kids involved. But after about 7 o'clock, Cartoon Network would turn into TNT. I remember late one night, my father was browsing, and I asked him to put on Cartoon Network because I didn't know about the 7 o'clock thing, and neither did he. And on came on, I believe, and if it wasn't one of the first episodes of Nitro, it was probably one of the, maybe the third or fourth. And I saw Sting, and this was pre-Crow Sting, the blonde mop top, and the fast paint, the California Surfer thing, and he's going, oh, and then you had Lex Luger coming out, and he looked like a real-life superhero. He had those massive arms and long hair, and they were wrestling the Road Warriors, and they came out in full Mad Max gear on motorcycles. And when you're like, how old was I? When you're like a 3-4-year-old kid, your jaw's on the floor because these dudes are real life superheroes. And so, you know, I keep harping about
this. And they still are to a lot of kids. So.
Exactly. And I keep harping about this, but it really is true. For a lot of children, pro wrestling is essentially real life superhero stuff, which is why I always make the comparison. So it's just, man, we could go on, going on and on forever, but how about we circle back to monthly Pure Riso? Because we have managed to get a lot of really cool interviews in our short time frame here. What would you say would be your favorite interview that you did for monthly Pure Riso?
It's got to be Yuji Nagata, because it all came together last minute, and New Japan had, they kind of like knew about me, but weren't too thrilled about the magazine, I guess, right at first. So to then kind of, for us to kind of do our thing, and I guess for them to be watching from a distance. And then of course I had the two Fight TV roundtable that I was an analyst on, that helped helped me get to know some more people behind the scenes, and Sonny Ono specifically, who is still close with Yuji Nagata, as you know from being a WCW fan, the two would come out together on TV a lot back on Nitro, so they still have a relationship to this day. And Sonny, you know, said, why don't you do something on Yuji? He's there in LA. You've got to do something with Yuji Nagata. He's going to be on TNT. This was before the news broke, but I didn't want to push any boundaries or anything. But thankfully, everybody was really cool. New Japan's PR department helped patch us together, and it all came together probably 48 hours before he flew to Jacksonville. So that's got to be the coolest.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Talk about last minute. Holy dooly.